Well, praise the Lord. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, in chapter number 10. Mark chapter 10. It's powerful. My goodness. Mark in chapter 10. Start in verse number 46. Mark in chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's pray. Father, I come to you tonight. I thank you so much for the privilege to stand in front of these people. Lord, what an honor it is. But Father, I know tonight that there's only one that I need to please, and Father, that's Amen. You. I pray that I do all that I can to lift up Christ in the hearts and minds of each person here, but Father, I know that I'm very limited, and I need your Holy Spirit to do his work. I pray that your Spirit would touch the hearts and minds and ears of every person in this room. Father, do a work that only you can do. I pray that tonight it wouldn't be us, it wouldn't be me, it wouldn't be anyone else, but Father, it'd be you. And Father, just work in us, help us. Lord, we've already had our hearts touched this evening. Thank you so much for those who preach the gospel, who give the good tidings Amen. Of Jesus Christ. And Father, I know our hearts have been stirred. I pray they'd be stirred more. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Be seated. That's good. That's real good, man. I want to thank Brother Wilkerson for the privilege to stand up here tonight. I'm going to move this thing out of my way. It's an honor to be here. It really is. So thankful. Came to college here in 1994. I grew up in a city of 500 people. This was an adjustment. I remember coming to college, and really it was just kind of like Shazam. You know, I mean, this was different. I mean, it really was. And I grew up in a rural church, small town, and I loved it. I loved it. I moved back there, amen. But the Lord was good, and I met my wife. I got married right after Bible college. Well, I graduated. She was a year behind me, and my mother and father said, you make sure she graduates. So we stayed a year, and I worked in the area. She finished up her senior year of college. They told me, don't come back. That's what the college said. I said, you want me to come back for a master? They said, no, thank you. And it's not entirely true, but probably could be. Thank you for laughing. My good friend, Evdell, brother, your time's coming. Don't you worry. But I'm so thankful. I have the privilege to work with my younger brother. I say privilege most of the time, but he's our youth pastor and does a wonderful job. We've worked together now for 19 years. And Brother Wilkerson, it's hard. Have you ever worked with your brothers? No, okay. And it's odd. My mother, it's the church we grew up in. And so when there'd be a dispute, you know, most of the time, you know, the pastor gets to tell the assistant pastor what happens. But we'd have to go visit mom. And she'd say, now, Andy, you need to do this. And Ted, you need to do this. And that's how it was, you know, and that's how it is, and praise the Lord, and it's good, but I love working with my brother. He does a fantastic job, has a heart for young people. My sister serves with us. She was taught in a Christian school out in Nebraska for a number of years, but the Lord brought her back to us, and she plays our organ and works with our young people and works with the music and does a great job, and thankful to have some of our church family here tonight, so kind of them to come and support their pastor here, and got a bunch of kids in Bible colleges here, and it's just wonderful. It really is. I do want to say a huge thank you to First Baptist Church for the accommodations, and the prayer touched my heart so much. I got one of the flyers for the conference and from one of the grade school classes, and they all signed it and said they were praying for me. I've got that sitting on my desk right now, and just touched my heart, and what a blessing it was. I had the privilege to grow up in a first-generation Christian home. My father grew up Catholic. He went to a year of Catholic college, considered becoming a priest. I'm eternally grateful he didn't, all right? But he, some of you will catch that later. Folks, honestly, and I mean this in all sincerity, my sense of humor is a little twisted, all right? That's why I get along well with Brother Judah, all right? But I always tease people. I tell folks my spiritual gift is being awkward. And always some godly elderly lady comes up to me afterwards and like, Brother Dahl, that's not biblical. I know, all right, I know, I do. My wife and I's love language, it's not in the book, all right, it's sarcasm. And it's. I know some of you don't get that, and forgive me, it's who I am. Several people, I told them I'm a little nervous about being up here tonight. I get over it pretty quick, as you can tell. But I they said, just be yourself. And it's like, that's horrible advice, all right? It just is, you know, and my wife's back there like, Andy, be yourself, but just not too much. And so, but I grew up in the home of a first generation Christian. My dad got saved in college. He was reached through Campus Crusade for Christ, was given some literature. He and my mother got married, moved back to where he originally grew up. He grew up in that surrounding area, and dad was saved, but really didn't have any doctrine. He trusted Christ but didn't have anything, and started to attend every single little church in Pertusheen, Wisconsin. We're a river city, got 5,500 people in our town, 15,000 people in our county, just a small rural area. But he was looking for truth. And they found a little Baptist church that had just been going for a few years and was meeting in the basement of what would then become the auditorium. But that they had just put that first layer on, so to speak. And dad, mom attended, and the pastor came to our house and took my mother through the gospel, and mom trusted Christ. And I got to grow up in that. I'm thankful. And I had such a wonderful experience. I got to see my mother and father who just got in. By the way, got in with both feet. And I'm so thankful for that. I thank God for parents who are just willing to just invest in the ministries of the church. And I'm a testimony to that. My brother and sister are testimonies to the fact that we had good godly parents. All the glory goes to the Lord. You and I know that. But I'm thankful for those parents who influenced me tremendously. Really, it means a lot. I just can't thank God for what he blessed me with. I really can't. Now, I will say this before we get into the message, I do need to address the elephant in the room. When I got that flyer, I put it up on our bulletin board at church, and several people walked by and said, Pastor, you know you're on that, right? I mean, let's be honest. Tom Williams, prayer warrior. David Gibbs, master storyteller. Jack Treber, great pastor. By the way, he took all 28 chapters of Acts and put a P to it. I can't do that with the book of Jude, all right? I mean, and last night I went back to the room and I started to read my Bible. I'm like, God didn't even do that. He has 66 books and there's only 6 that are P's. That's just me. Brother Wilkerson, blessing, he's off limits, but Brother Abdel, you're not. But then there I was. And I know most of you, when you got that flyer, you looked and you said, huh, wonder if that's a typo. Some of our folks at home did too. When I got in just a couple days, went to the room and Brother Abdel and Adam met me. There was a Bears flag, Chicago Bears flag, and a Chicago Bears blanket on the bed. I hate the Bears. It has nothing to do with the message at all. Just felt led of the Lord to share that, Brother Judah. Came in the next morning. I'd already been here a half a day. And Brother Judah and Mr. C.W. Kennedy had gone into the room and done more things that were Bear paraphernalia related. But no, I got Brother C.W., I got your note right here. I'll be filing that later tonight. Mark in chapter 10, verse 46. It's a great story. It's a great story. When Jesus comes, man, it's unbelievable. It really is. And Jesus is introduced to a man that day that we call blind Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus that day got his sight. It's a beautiful story of a blind man. It's a beautiful story of our Savior doing something miraculously. You know, truth be told, the text, it speaks of salvation. And I know this is the Wednesday night crowd, but friend, I'll tell you this. Just watching what we watched, you got to know you have Christ. I mean, once was blind, but now I see. And salvation, it's all over this story, and I love it. And I love to preach on that. But tonight, I want to look at this story. And I want to apply some of the truths from Bartimaeus to lives of the children of God in this room tonight. You see, the Bible says here that he sat by the highway side begging. He had no other life. He had no other calling. He had no other purpose. There was nothing else he could do. In verse 47, it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Tonight I'm preaching on the topic of passion for people. But as I got to thinking about this, the word passion, it means a strong emotion that's barely controllable. It's an overwhelming affection that wells up within us. Before I get to the people, I just want to talk about passion for a moment. You know, I wonder that night, that day, how many other blind men were on the highway side begging. I wonder how many others were there who had afflictions and infirmities. But there's one man in the story who got healed. And it's because he cried out. You know, Christian, I'd ask you tonight, how comfortable are you? I'm watching something happen in our country and it bothers me. We are a very dispassionate people. We are. I don't know if it's the social media. I don't know if it's the technology. I don't know what it is. I really don't. But we are becoming a passionless people. And it bothers me. There ought to be something. Don't get me wrong. We all have passions. We all have desires. But truth be told, we are becoming we're just dull. It's like nothing can faze us. Nothing can touch us. And it's affected Christianity. I'm telling you, man, you can sing the hymns and songs of the faith. You can watch a video and you can hear a story and see these faces and you're not moved. And I wonder what's wrong with us tonight as we just have no passion. I wonder how many other men were there that day. I wonder how many other women were there that day that were not healed because they wouldn't cry out. How many never saw their needs met because they were content in their pathetic mess? Christian, listen to me. I'm going to talk about the world in a moment. We know they're lost and we know they're going to hell, but I wonder tonight how many of us are content with our lot in life? How many of us are content just to sit where we are tonight and not be moved? When's the last time the Spirit of God got all over you and just did something in your heart where it truly moved you? The Bible says that Jesus had compassion on them and it moved him to do something. And with God tonight, we'd be moved in some way. How many of us are afraid to look a little zealous, a little religious, a little fanatical, a little too much in love with him, a little passionate. If you look in the text, you see, not only did he cry out, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. God's people tonight need to beg God. Listen, our world needs Jesus Christ. But this church, our churches need the power of God upon us. It's not a mystery to God that the world is lost. But it does seem to be a mystery within the church today. We just aren't moved. But in verse 48, many charged him that he should hold his peace. In Jesus' name, they said, shut up. That's what they said, buddy. Look what it says. And by the way, most of us Christians, when we get a little excited, we always have some blessing next to us who help us calm back down. Don't get too overzealous about the things of the Lord. Oh, it'll wear off. Don't you worry. I mean, there's always somebody who'll just pour a little cold water, who will damp us back down, bring us back to earth a little bit. But the Bible says this, he cried out
the more. Would to God some Christians tonight would just cry out the more. Would to God we'd stop going through the motions. Would to God we'd stop speaking the rhetoric. And would we just simply be moved and say, God, I've got to have something from heaven tonight. I've got to have some passion in my heart. God, do something in me. I'm not content. I'm not content to sit here. I'm not content to be not moved. I have to have something from you, God. Brother Jude, I'm going to share this story because I like it and because you're here. 10 years ago, just shade over, it was December of 2013. I'm a Packers fan. Don't worry about it, all right? That's heaven's colors. Earlier in the season, a Bears player by the name of Shea McClellan had knocked Aaron Rodgers out, what we thought was for the season. Broke his collarbone. It's the only way the Bears can beat the Packers is to just be dirty. But Aaron Rodgers came back. The Packers had kind of weathered the storm. Their record was 7-8-1. They had tied one game. And the Bears' record was 7-8. Last game of the season, whoever won it won the division and would slip into the playoffs. I love church, but when the Packers are playing, I come in as late as I can, man. I want to hear what's going on. And that night was one of those nights where the pastor had scheduled a deacon's meeting. And you can't be late for those, all right? That's bad. It's been a bad testimony. And it was an unbelievable game. It went back and forth. Rodgers had come back just a couple weeks before that. Wasn't playing great because of the broken collarbone, but that night was a big game. It was for the playoffs. The score was 28-27. Bears were leading with 38 seconds left. It was 4th and 8 from basically midfield. The Packers had already converted 2 4th downs. This was the 3rd one. 4th and 8. Aaron Rodgers, and honestly, I have watched it, but I visualized, I heard it on the radio that night. I was driving into church at the last possible moment to make that deacon's meeting. I was about a mile from church. The ball was snapped. The Bears blitzed. Julius Peppers, who played for the Bears for years, a fantastic ball player, Hall of Famer, came around the right end. And a fullback by the name of John Kuhn slipped out and blocked him for just a moment. Aaron Rodgers twirled, flipped the ball 35 yards in the air to a wide open receiver, and the Packers win. And I'm going to tell you, I went crazy. There was nobody else in the world but me in that car. And I was screaming. I mean, screaming. Just cutting loose. There was passion. And the Holy Spirit of God said to my heart, Andy, do you get that excited about me? Do you get that excited about souls? And the Holy Spirit of God just afflicted my heart. You see, I'm afraid tonight that we're just not passionate. Folks, I pray that something would get stirred up in you. Honestly, I mean, we are in church tonight. It's okay to smile. Okay, it's okay to say amen. It's okay. You don't have to be a Packers fan. Someday you'll get right with God. But listen to me. Something needs to happen in us tonight. Our churches need to be on fire for God. Our churches need to be dynamic. And listen tonight, it's not the pastor's job, and it's not the assistant pastor's job, and it's not the song leader's job, and it's not the youth leader's job to fire us up. We ought to come into this building ready for God to do something. There ought to be desire for the Lord, man, just to do something. Stir me, God, do something. I need you. Man, we ought to come in here expecting. There shouldn't have to be anything that's played on the screen to get me excited. There's no criticism of that. That was awesome, and praise the Lord for it, but that ought to stir us. That ought to move us, but long before that, I should have come in ready. The Bible says that Nicodemus, or that Bartimaeus cried out, and then he cried out the more. And listen, I want you to look at the text. It says this, verse 49, the first 4 words, and Jesus stood still. My God, my King, my Savior, is looking for someone tonight. Yeah. who will cry out for him. He is here tonight. I believe with all of my heart, God is in the building, man. God is in this house, and he's walking down the aisles. He's walking through the rows, and he's just wondering, is there anyone, is there someone that will cry out? Is there someone in their heart of hearts who will desire me? Is there someone who wants what I can do in their life? And truth be told, many a time, I'm afraid that he walks right by my aisle, my seat. I'm afraid that he walks right by my pew. I'm afraid that nothing happens because my heart does not yearn for him.
Amen.
Where's the passion, preacher?
Come on.
Come on now.
Yes, sir.
We can be unmoved. Unmoved as we study for a sermon. Man, that sermon ought to eat me up. That sermon ought to grab my attention. That sermon ought to do something in my heart. Hey, why do we go to the pulpit and just dead? We wonder why our people are dead. It's because we're not giving them anything. Well, I preach the Bible, praise God, but where's your passion? Where's something burning inside of you? Where's something that just says, God, eat me up, man, tear me up, do something, lest I die. And he's walking here tonight. He's walking through the building. He's walking down your aisle. He's walking by your pew. He's walking by your seat. And he says, do you want me? Bartimaeus, the Bible says, cried out the more. And Jesus stood still. What does your heart say tonight? Come on. We're going to move on here in a moment. What does your heart want? I mean, is there something burning? I know it's Wednesday night. I know some of you are tired. I know some of you are weary, but do you want something from God?
Yes.
I want you to see what he did secondly. It says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. Man, that'll get you, won't it? He knows my name. He calls me. But I want you to look at verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. I need a passion for passion. I need to get stirred up. Something's got to happen inside. I'm tired of it. I am tired of the Pentecostal world taking the passion away from Christianity. I am tired of this emergent church. I am tired of these Bible churches having more spirit than I got. I mean, I got the spirit of the living God dwelling in me, and they got nothing on me. They got nothing on me. They got nothing on my God. Listen to me. I'm telling you, I need a passion for passion. But I need a passion for people. Listen. We have some passions tonight. I've shared my carnal one. Some of you don't have any, and I'd beg you to get something. But listen. Bartimaeus made a decision. I've thought about this story. I think he had one possession in all the world. He sat on the highway side begging. He had nothing. He was a pauper. He was a beggar. Every day he'd beg God, he'd beg people just to have enough for one more day. And he heard that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David, and he cried out the more, and Jesus stood still, and Jesus called him. Woo! And in that moment of time, Bartimaeus had a decision. Listen to me. There's a passion for people being talked about tonight. You and I know what the need is. We know what the need of the hour is. We're talking about the end times. We're talking about these being the last days. We sing songs, but we don't live like it. Tonight, the Lord's walking through here. And there being some of you that are getting a little stirred up and saying, I need something. God, I need you. God, I desire. God, I want you. God, I do. And he says, okay. He stops. And you have a decision to make, sir. You see, too many of us have a passion for the wrong thing. There was a coat that he had. I think it's all that he possessed of any value. If he were like many modern American Christians, he'd just button the coat back up, say, I'm sorry. Not tonight. Not today. Listen, the gospel call needs to go out now. Right now. We don't have time. Listen to me. We don't have another day. There are people right now, I mean, listen, they're dying. They are perishing. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. We sing it, but we don't believe it. When's the last time the gospel came out of my mouth? When's the last time I gave out a gospel tract? When's the last time? Oh, we talk about doing it. We talk about ministry. We talk about reaching others. We talk about reaching the world. But it's a lot of talk.
Come on,
we just button the coat up.
Yeah.
Good. You see, we have a passion for the wrong thing. It's an election year. Yup. End of the world as we know it, one way or the other. Come on, it's true. Passion. Woo! Man, you get on it, you can get going. Politics will stir people up. People in the church up. And we'll talk about our candidate, and we'll talk about how bad the other candidate is, and don't get me started. I joke. I do talk about politics. All right? I know some of you get nervous. Whoa, it's okay. Don't worry. Listen, I'm white. Okay? I'm a male. I'm heterosexual. And I'm a pastor. Strike four. I honestly, people like, you know, why not? I mean, I'm the last person in the world you can make fun of. If you want to rip on somebody, this is the guy, all right? Bring it, all right? I was reading an article the other day about the 15 catchphrases that bother millennials. I say every one of them, proudly. I mean, I don't care. I'm so sick to death of all that foolishness going on. Just grow up, all right? That's free. That has nothing to do with the message. Might be a little misplaced, to be perfectly honest. But boy, do we get worked up about politics. We get worked up about the finances and the money and all this stuff. We get worked up about our egos. And by the way, Baptists, we're not above it. You and I know it. Boy, we like to have our pecking order and keep so-and-so in line. So-and-so has no right to say, listen, we've got a passion, sadly, many times for the wrong thing. And it's tonight that we need to comprehend, I need to have a passion for people. I need to have a passion for the lost. I need to put my dreams and my aspirations and my ego to the side. I need to put my love of money and my greed and my envy and my debt to the side. I need to put away the possessions and my houses and lands. I need to put those things to the side. Hey, there's a call tonight. There's a need tonight. There's a lost world tonight, and they need the gospel, and I've got a calling. Hey, Jesus stood still. Some of you let your past pain and your guilt and bitterness and jealousy ruin you. And you invest your passion into that. I'm watching a generation of Christians who've circumvented the family of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say, well, my family comes first. No, his does always. Look at what's going on in Christianity, and it bothers me. The heart of my Savior beat for the lost. Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Romans chapter 5, Paul writes, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans in chapter 10 and verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My God in heaven's heart tonight, it beats for the lost soul that is out there, the lost soul across the street, the lost soul across town, the lost soul in the next town, the lost soul in the next county, the lost soul in the next state, the lost soul across the world. Listen tonight, God's heart beats for souls. Where are my passions at tonight? Are my passions for people? Step back and consider that, my friend. And I mean this, and I do not mean this in a judgmental way, but where are passions? You see, Bartimaeus, he said, hey, Jesus, thou son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. And my prayer tonight is that we call that out, not for salvation, but for sanctification, for service. And Jesus will stand still because he knows your name. But he says, Bartimaeus, what are you going to do? Bartimaeus, I know it's important to you. I know what you hold dear. Hey. He took his coat off. And look what the Bible says. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. He didn't just slip it off and lay it gently. The Bible says he rose and cast it off. That's all he had. That was his life. That was his livelihood. That's what he had. Kept him warm at night. That's what kept the sun off him at day. That's all he had, and he let it go. He threw it away. Oh, would to God tonight, some of us would just say, listen, God, you want me? You got me. God, I don't care what my dreams are. I don't care what my aspirations are. I don't care what my misplaced passions are. God, you've got me. And I'm not holding back, Lord. I'm not going back. Would to God tonight, some of God's people just get stirred up in their heart. Would they sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you right now, one day you will look with disgust at those carnal desires and dreams and passions you once had. I'm telling you, there's going to be a moment in your life. And I've just considered this, but Bartimaeus went away seeing that day. And I'm going to tell you right now, he did not go back and get that coat. You give your life to God. And I think there's going to be a day. I remember a day in my life, Brother Wilkerson, I was going to go and make money. I sat up in the old auditorium up there, and Brother Hiles preached a message, and I surrendered my life that night to serve God. I gave it to him. And I had my life plotted out. I was 18. I think I'm fairly intelligent. You may disagree, and so be it. But listen to me. I had it planned out. I knew what I was going to do. I was going to make money, and I was going to succeed. I wasn't going to leave church. I wasn't going to leave God. I wasn't going to do all that. I was just going to do what I wanted to do. But that night, God got a hold of my heart. As the preacher preached, the Holy Spirit of God worked inside of me. And he said, Andy, do you want me? And I cried out. And I cried out the more. And Jesus stood still. But I had a choice to make. I was enrolled in another college and accepted, just so you know. And I was going. I was amazed that Hiles Anderson took me at the last minute. I'm no longer amazed at that, Brother Wilkerson. Listen. I had to cast it away. Today, I'm 48 years old. It's been 30 years ago. I've revisited that decision a couple times in my life. I've gone back. You couldn't pay me enough to pick up this coat. I look out tonight at a ministry God's given me, at people that I love, at a wife that God blessed me with, three children that I love that love their dad, and you couldn't pay me enough to pick up this sorry thing. Jesus stood still. But he said, Bartimaeus, you got a decision. And I said, there's no decision. Take it. A passion for people, Christian. That's what the ministry is. The ministry is not buildings. The ministry is not prestige. The ministry is not ego. The ministry is not your public persona. Ministry's people. That's what he calls us to. He calls us to reach the lost. He calls us to go into the gutters, the highways and the hedges, and to bring them to Christ. He calls us to help the hurting, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captive free. I know it's his work, but he's called me to be a laborer in the harvest. And I wonder tonight, I wonder as you and I sit here, do I have a passion? And do I have a passion for people? See, I'm not good at that. You don't have to be good at it. You know, there's people, I chuckle sometimes, people say, well, Pastor, I'm one of those people, I just don't like people. You know what? There's other people just like you. And they need a guy like you to reach them. They do. Man, they don't want a guy like Brother Judah, all big personality. They don't want to talk to that jerk. They don't want that at all. They want, I love you. Listen, they want somebody just like you are. You say, but it can't, no, listen, that's exactly what God wants from you. If your heart is crying out for God tonight, he'll stand still. But you, sir, you, ma'am, you, young person, have a decision to make. I want you to see this. And Jesus, verse 51, answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? It's a great question, isn't it? What do you want? What should I do to you? You got my attention. I'm listening. What should I do? Bartimaeus could have said, Lord, give me somebody that would love me and take care of me. Give me someone that would come in and feed me every day. Give me a place to put my head at night. Give me a roof over my head. Give me some of the niceties of life. Give me some of the luxuries. I don't want to have to beg anymore. I don't want to have to sit here and hurt anymore. Just give me something. Just give me someone. Lord, just do that. Honestly, I think that's where a lot of us are at. He stands still. And we surrender. And surrender, and we know this, surrender happens many, many times in the Christian life. Salvation once, but surrender many, many times. But too many times, we don't ask enough. Sometimes my prayers are too small. You know, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I'm not trying to contradict that in any way, shape, or form. But I think sometimes we ask God for things that I can do. He's already enabled me to do it. But look what Bartimaeus asked for. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Okay. We need to have a passion for passion tonight. We need to have a passion for people. We need to have a passion for purpose. You see, Bartimaeus asked for the impossible. He said, Lord, thou son of David, I want to see. We know he was the son of Timaeus. Maybe his dad had taken him to every doctor, every surgeon, every professional. I think they'd probably tried everything. If I was a father in such a case, I'd do anything I could to help my son. But nothing had helped. Bartimaeus said, Lord, I want to see. And he did. When's the last time you grabbed hold of God and saw something man couldn't do accomplished in your life? I serve a God who's Lord of all. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said, all power. All power. Christian, listen, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We're not asking enough. The Lord's convicted my heart the last couple months. It's cold in Wisconsin. Winter's a tough time to get out and door knock. Winter's a tough time. It just is. Tough time for evangelism. Those of you in the Midwest, you understand that. But I haven't been praying for souls like I should. And when I have a purpose to pray for souls, God puts them in my path.
Yes.
It's miraculous. When I get my heart right with God, and I just, you know, I justify myself because I'm doing what I can. I don't need to do what I can. I need to happen what only God can do in my life. I don't want to be an average Christian. I don't want to be an average pastor. I don't want to be an average Baptist. I want to see something only God can do accomplished in this life with this individual. And I'm not saying that because of me. I know I'm nothing. I know I'm nobody from nowhere. I understand that. I have no problem saying it, but I have a God that can. 15 years ago, I preached on this text in our church, and I told them I'd been pastoring for just about, four or five years, and I told them I had dreams that this church, that my church, our church, could grow and be a powerful influence in our city, in our county, in our state for Christ. And I have a wonderful group of people back home, and I'm thankful to God for them. But I was young and stupid. I mean it, man. You get behind the pulpit for the first time as a pastor and you think you have a clue, and truth be told, you have no idea what you're about to deal with. But I believed God could. You see, I need to learn to ask the impossible. Brother Judah, you've been to our church a number of times through the years. You came when we were hurting in the 90s. You saw it. And God healed that. And God allowed a kid who grew up in a city of 500, a town, a village of 400 or 500 people to pastor our church. And our church was dead on arrival, man. When Debbie and I moved back, there was nothing good happening in Purdue Sheen. And I mean that in no way disrespect to anybody back home. It just was a case. And God did something. It's God's work. It's not Andy Dahl's work. He's got very little to do with anything, trust me. I joke, man, the little old ladies at church know more than I do. That's why I call to find out what's really happening, man. I can't beat the gossip line. I'm telling you, it's God's work. It's His work. But I've watched as God has built His church, and God has built His work, and God has brought people in, and souls have been saved, and people have been baptized, and things have happened, and it's incredible, and it's a blessing. And I've watched as God has magnified our presence in our city, as I can walk into any place in town, and they know who I am, and they receive me with open arms. And it's a miracle. I mean, you've met me tonight. Many of you wonder how that's even possible, and yet they do, and it's incredible. And I walk into our police department. I have a key code, a key fob, and I walk right in, and they say, "Oh, Pastor Dahl, how are you today? We're so glad you're here." I walk into the sheriff's department, and I walk into the fire department, I walk into city hall, and they all welcome me with open arms. Why? Because I have a God that can do that which is impossible. Hey, little as much when God is in it. And yet we sit here tonight, and we say, well, God can't use my life. You're just the life God wants to use. Yeah. Stop selling your God short. You never were capable of what you thought you were. Only God can do what He's capable of doing in your life. Watch during COVID, and truth be told, that was a major disaster. But we are rural Wisconsin, and we just didn't care. We had a man come to our church, a husband and wife visited. He was running for U.S. Congress. He moved his wife and him to Purdue Sheen because of how we handled COVID. He serves tonight in the U.S. Congress. He called me this afternoon, and he told me to tell you to listen. You don't listen because a politician says it. But listen, God made it. This last year, this fall, I went out and I preached in the U.S. Capitol. Why? God. I have a big God.
Yes.
I have a God that can do the impossible. You know, I step back and I marvel at what the Lord's done. It is God's work and it is marvelous in his eyes. I'm so glad tonight that I don't serve a God of the possible. I serve a God of the impossible. I'm glad tonight I don't serve a God of the credible. I serve a God of the incredible. I'm thankful that I don't serve a God of the usual. I serve a God of the unusual. I'm so glad tonight I don't serve a God of the ordinary. I serve a God of the extraordinary. I'm so glad I serve a God that isn't natural. I'm glad I serve a God that is supernatural. I'm glad tonight that I don't serve a God that is just believable. I serve a God that is unbelievable. You see, sight says you can't,
but faith says I can through Christ. Ye have not because ye ask not. Listen to me. You don't think God wants souls to be reached in your town, in your city, in your village? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. You ask God for the souls of men. You ask God to do something that only he can do. And I'm telling you tonight, I have a God. You have a God that can do it.
But he's waiting for his people. He is waiting for someone to say, try me. Try me, man. Prove me. What do you want, Bartimaeus? What do you want?
Well, I want things to be just, you know, a little better. You know, just a place to put my head at night. Just some food, just somebody to love me, care about me. No. Lord, I would like to see. And look at the last verse of our text. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. My friend tonight, how about you? Are you just comfortable where you're at? It can happen. I'm told that the average pastor does most of his ministry by the time he's 45, 48 years old, biggest part of his ministry days, my age. That bothers me. I don't like that. Because my ministry isn't based on my energy or my ability. It's based on my God. But I'm going to tell you, we get comfortable. We get comfortable. And I'm not trying to beat up anybody in here tonight, but we just get to a point in our Christian life where we are satisfied. We are okay. I'm going to ride this baby out. I've reached some souls. I've done some of God's work. I care about folks. I got a good place. I got a good job. I got a good pay. My family's all right. And things aren't great, but things aren't bad. I'm just going to ride this thing out. And that's, truth be told, that's a lot of our churches. That's where we're at. That's a lot of men, even in the ministry, man. We've just gotten to a point, and we're just going to kind of see this thing through. Get a passion, man. I am tired of reading stories about athletes and hearing about coaches who go the extra mile. It bothers me. It affects me. I don't care how much Michael Jordan practiced. I don't care how much Aaron Rodgers worked. I don't care how much the world and Taylor Swift has to go, how much effort they put into their junk. They are not going to outwork me. They are not going to give more than I give. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to give it all. I'm going to have a passion for passion. I'm going to get on fire for God. I'm going to set this thing. I'm telling you, I'm going to burn the house down if that's what it takes. I'm going to see God do something in my life. And I'm tired of being comfortable. I'm not going to float into eternity on beds of ease, man. I want to fight my way to the finish, man. I want to fight the good fight. I want to finish my race, brother. I want to see when God gets me, I want there to be nothing left to give him. Do you have a passion for passion? Do you have a passion for people? He stood still. He said, Bartimaeus, what do you want? Bring him to me. And in that moment of time, and friend, I'll tell you this, it is just a moment of time. The Lord's always moving. He's not going to stand there long. There's a man in our, well, comes to church on occasion. He was the pastor's son. Truth be told, he should have been the pastor after our founding pastor left. Very capable, very talented. But he's thrown his life away. And for 24 years of being in Puerto Sheen, I've listened to him tell me how he could do it at any time. But he can't. because he won't let go of the coat. And I'm not his judge. But one day he's going to stand in front of his God and he's going to have to give account. Brother and sister, so are you and I. This thing right here, this represents misplaced passion. Misplaced desires. You say, oh, it's not bad. Hey, my dreams for my life were not bad. I was going to go to an accounting world. I had an inn already. I had an uncle in it. He told me he'd help me. I had an opportunity. I was going to make money. He is a multimillionaire multiple times over. I mean, he's got it. He's got the world by the tail. He's offered multiple times through the years to give me a hand with some things. And I'm telling you right now, you couldn't get me to take that stinking coat up if your life depended. I think Bartimaeus looked back. I think after he got his sight, he may have walked in with Jesus and maybe walked by that coat. And he stopped for a second and said, that is disgusting. I have been wearing that thing. That is gross. Man, that nauseates me. It's filthy and it's stinky and it's disgusting. And that is what the dreams of the world are. Young people tonight, I beg you, don't you dare sell yourself out for some filthy thing the devil has. And Christian parent and Christian pastor and Christian church, listen to me. Don't you dare sell yourself out for some piece of garbage Satan offers you. Passion for people. And lastly, a passion of purpose. It's his. I can't pastor my people well enough. I can't preach well enough. I can't pray hard enough. I can't work hard enough to do what God needs done in the lives of the people in my church. I need God involved. If God doesn't get all over our church, hey, I've wasted my time. I've screamed and hollered and kicked and clawed and scratched, and praise God for those people who go the extra mile. I love it. But if the Lord's not in it, it's all in vain. Tonight, my friend, Jesus said, bring him to me. He cast his garment away, his cloak away. He said, what would ye that I should do? Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. What kind of God do you serve tonight? Hey, pastor friends, what kind of God do we serve tonight? See, nobody can do it in my town. God can. Nobody can revive my church. God can. Nobody can bring the glory days back. God can. Nobody can see a revival happen in America. God can. Amen. Nobody can reach the world for Christ. God can. Amen. A passion of purpose.